we present for your Easter delectation and delight a fabulous feast of phantasmagorical fun, a Corinthian cacophony, a caroling choristry, a riot of rumbustious rollicking and roisterous revelry. So greet the star of the show, that tempestuously, tumultuously, tremblingly, titillatingly tremendous, fun-loving fanatic, your own, your very own... Oh, Nickers, I've forgotten his name. Here he is in person, Ken Dodd!
Hilarious. Here in Leeds, folks. Leeds, where everybody's highly educated. Even the traffic wardens have got city and guilds in harassment. Here we are in the City Varieties. What a beautiful little theatre. A little bijou theatre. To give you an idea how tiny it is, these big feet you can see here on the front row belong to that fella on the back row. This is what I call a robust audience. I wish you could see the robes on this side and the buster. I wish you could see the front. Beautiful day, all you EastEnders. What a beautiful day for dashing into the Queen Vic and singing at the top of your voice. No, not that. What a beautiful day for cutting a big flap in the back of jockey trunks and dashing into a car showroom and shouting, "How's that for a hatchback?" Easter time, men start oiling their electric hedge cutters while their wives say, "If you trim that beard in the winter, you wouldn't be as bad as that." I haven't been anywhere for Easter, have you? The furthest I've been is a McDonald's cafe for a beef burger and a milk. He's done well for himself now, that McDonald. I mean, he only started off with a small farm, a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there. Last week I went to this posh restaurant, the El Salmonella, and they serve that convenience food there, you know. As soon as you get it, you want to drop it into the nearest convenience. Springtime, when romance is in the air. They say that love is blind. I suppose that's why you see so many spectacles in the park. In the audience, on the second row here, we have a young man who's on his honeymoon. It's nice to see him on his feet again. This is... The worst thing about travelling over Easter is the motorways. You can always tell when the holiday season's here because they shut up three lanes and open up the hard shoulder. Travel can broaden the mind. You see people sitting out in the open air, looking longingly into their belongings, all heaped round them, looking at passers-by. In some countries, they call it poverty. In this country, they call it a car boot sale. Why do we always give each other Easter eggs? Why not a black pudding wrapped in cellophane with our name written on it in gravy? The answer is, of course, it's a fertility symbol. Or in some cases, a futility symbol. You see, an egg symbolises the beginning of life, the procreation of the species, and they taste smashing with chips. The country, you know, in the country, the fertility dance is, of course, performed during Easter. Yes, at exactly midday, certain Morris dancers shed all their clothes and prance about totally, you know, naked. Creates havoc in Tesco's. Totally confuses the girl on the checkout because she's never sure whether they have five items or less. The other symbol is the Easter bunny. Now, isn't it funny? A rabbit's a bunny, so why do they call it a bunny? The answer is, again, fertility. You've all heard ladies say, "I've got a bunny in the oven." What a beautiful day it's been, folks. It started this morning when I popped into the office. Good morning, Miss Golightly.
Oh, hello, boss.
What's that you're doing, Miss Golightly?
Nothing, boss.
You're filling in an advert in the paper. Come on, what's it all about?
No, Mr. Dodd, you'll laugh.
Me? Laugh, of course I
won't. Oh, you will.
I won't.
Yes, you will. Cross your heart and hope to die in a bucket full of custard.
Yeah, well, cross my heart and hope to die.
In a bucket full of custard.
In a bucket full of custard. Right, now, what's the advert you're filling in?
I'm writing to a computer dating service. Oh! I knew you'd laugh.
No, I'm not laughing, Miss Golightly. No, it's the war wound playing up again. computer dating service? Who wants to have a date with a computer?
No, Mr. Dodd. I fill in this advert giving the answers to all these intimate questions.
Oh, yeah.
And they feed it into a computer, and it matches me up with the man of my dreams.
Intimate questions? What sort of intimate questions?
Well, you know, inside leg measurement.
What?
Now, do they want my inside leg or the fella I'm hoping to get?
Inside leg measurement? Look, let's have a look.
Oh, here it is, boss. Just underneath, where I've had to put what colour I want.
Yeah.
I put brown, because I like them sunburned.
Yeah. What colour? Oh, Miss Golightly, look here. The computer dating advert finishes here. This one's for 5,000 pairs of government surplus trousers.
Oh, boss, I am a fool.
Yes.
Can you imagine what would have happened if I'd have sent it off?
You'd have probably ended up going steady with a pair of green corduroys from Barnsley. Oh, look out. Here he is, Willie Eckerslake. The nutty ash answer to Blake Carrington.
Has anybody put kettle on?
Well, I tried, but I couldn't get my arm through the spout. Go on, put the kettle on, Miss Golightly.
Righto, boss.
Here, you're looking a bit puffed, Willie. Sit down, take the weight off your pimple.
Boy, I'm done in. Pow-fagged.
Pow-fagged?
Oh, I've just been to doctors with me legs.
Well, you'd have a heck of a job to go without them.
Oh, I know how you feel, Willie. When I've been on my feet for hours, oh, mine give me chip.
Not like mine do. How Dr. Ferguson used to say to me, Willie, he'd say, how you can go through life in your condition and never complain beats me. Wonderful man, cured my wife's complaint.
Did you have an operation, Willie?
No, a bread poultice.
A bread poultice, Willie?
3 times a day.
After meals?
No, instead of meals.
She didn't eat a bread poultice, did she?
Ah, she did. She used to love them on toast with a bit of grated cheese, ah. On Sunday, she'd have one with a roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Must be me, I'm going crackers here.
My granny used to swear by camphorated oil.
Yes, I thought she used to fry her chips in it, did she?
No, boss. She used to rub it over my granddad's chest.
Oh, I see.
Every night, she'd get out a bottle of camphorated oil and spend 20 minutes on my granddad's chest.
No wonder he went with a smile on his face.
She got a lovely polish on it.
His chest?
Solid oak it was. Yes, he used to keep his knick-knacks in it. Oh, yes. Very proud of his knick-knacks was my granddad.
I never had any knick-knacks.
Well, we all have our problems, will it?
I want companionship, Mr. Dodd.
I see. Now I know why you were filling in the advert.
I want someone strong, loving, wealthy, generous, tall, dark and handsome.
Too late, love, I'm spoken for.
Have you thought of an alternative, Miss Golightly?
What do you mean, boss?
Well, they say budgies make nice companions.
Oh, Mrs. has a budgie. Ever so cheap to run.
Really?
She only eats a pot of seed every 2 days.
Your Mrs. does?
No, the budgie. She got her head stuck between bars at Cage last night.
Who, the budgie?
No, me missus.
Look, I can't stand any more of this. I'm going out to speak to the great British public about spring being sprung. I'll have a word with that old chap over there. He's 80 if he's a day. Hello, Pop. I'm asking people about spring and romance.
Yeah, well, you've come to it right, chap. Just come back off my honeymoon.
Honeymoon, eh?
We played Postman's Knock.
Postman's Knock, eh? You cheeky old blighter. I'll bet you were like our British Postal Service, a first-class mail.
Not quite, but I was like the post office.
Yeah.
It took me 6 days to deliver.
Excuse me, madam, does your husband come alive at this time of the year? You know, get his act together?
I can say, in all honesty, my husband performs like two men.
Does he really?
Yes, Laurel and Hardy.
I'll speak to this young lady in the tartan pinny. Young lady, do you enjoy the romance of spring?
I do not.
Isn't your husband the romantic type?
He's not. Half the time his mind is on Disney World.
You mean Disney World in Florida?
No. Our own Disney World here in Glasgow. It doesn't paint the house, it doesn't cut the lawn, and it doesn't clean the car.
over there. I'll talk to that young man with the red rosette and the aerosol. Do you do anything romantic at this time of the year?
Yeah, well, you know, last night me and the missus had dinner by candlelight.
I love it. How often do you do that?
Well, every time they come round, they've got our electricity off. You know what I mean?
Oh, now, this gentleman doesn't look too happy. What's your problem, Gaffer?
He's too old. She's mounting again.
Why, what have you done now?
Nothing. I could never do right in her eyes. I paid for her and the kids to go on a lovely camping holiday in a tent in the Lake District. Huh? And she still wasn't satisfied. She wanted to go to Barbados with me.
Excuse me, we're asking people if springtime is really the best time for love and romance.
Well, my boyfriend proposed to me last night.
Did you accept?
No, I turned him down on account of the book I was reading.
A book?
Listen, my sister's husband proposed to her while she was reading The Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah.
And she had triplets.
I don't see the connection.
When my boyfriend proposed, I was reading 101 Dalmatians.
Talk of young love, let's not forget the old folk.
It's a grand morning, Mother.
Yes. Mind you, we've always done well for weather at Whitby.
Haven't had a bad year since the war.
Have you brought your plastic mat with you, Dad?
No, Mother, I haven't. I was going to bring it.
Well, why didn't you?
I didn't think I'd need it.
Well, I think you should have brought it, Dad.
Well, I was going to bring it, Mother, but I decided not to bother.
I can see a few dark clouds over there, and you'll be in a right mess if it rains.
Well, I was going to bring it. I changed my mind.
Well, I think you should have brought it.
Well, I was going to be. Just thought I wouldn't bother.
If I'd have known you hadn't brought it, I would have made you bring it.
You wouldn't have had to make me bring it, Mother. I was going to bring it. Did you bring your plastic mac, Mother?
No, I didn't. I was going to bring it. I thought I wouldn't bother.
Why didn't you bother?
I didn't think I'd need it. Besides, I thought you were bringing yours.
I was going to. I decided not to bother.
Oh, look, it's starting to rain. I told you, Dad, you should have brought your plastic mat.
I wish you'd just shut that window and come back to bed, Mother.
But what does spring really mean? Spring in the park. When I was a lad in Notting Ash, we used to spend all Easter with friends and... No! Not yet! Pack it in! Now, where was I? When I was a lad, romance meant the back row of the Notting Ash Odeon. Me and my mates, we spent many a Saturday night cuddled up to the local girls.
Oh, Freddy, the picture's finished. Quick, wipe the lipstick off your face before the lights come up.
Oh, Charlie, they're going to put the lights up. Wipe the lipstick off your face before anybody sees you.
Kenny, the picture's finished. Wake up.
And now for some up-to-the-minute bank holiday traffic news. Here is a warning for all motorists turning right onto the A414326833579214963728. The flipping signpost is blocking the road. And in Manchester, a distillery wagon has swerved into a lamppost, shattering 5,000 bottles of whiskey. Here is an eyewitness report from our man on the spot. And the A548 in Sussex has been blocked after a coachload of pensioners returning from a German beer festival overturned this morning. No other vehicle was involved, and no one outside the coach was hurt. But so far, nobody inside the coach has noticed any difference. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Give in.
Of course, some people spend the Easter break climbing.
Oh, Gladys. Oh, it's a good job we're roped together like this.
Yes, Albert. You know, this must rate as one of the trickiest climbs we've ever attempted.
I mind you, I must admit, it's stimulating. Hang on, we're nearly there. Just a few more steps and we've made it to the summit.
Oh, Albert, just look at the view from up here. You must admit it was well worth the effort.
Oh, yes, yes. But I'm still going to complain to the manager of this youth hostel. I think these bunk beds should be much lower than this, you know.
Easton sees the opening of many of our stately homes to the public. I am indeed privileged to be at the Great Hall of Collington Castle, home of the 15th Earl of Collington. Accompanied by the Earl's faithful butler, Bridges, I'm walking along this historic corridor, surrounded by centuries of history, paintings, sculptures, suits of armour, swords and shields. We climb the oak staircase leading to the Earl's bedchamber. The early morning sunlight streaming through the magnificent stained glass windows. Dominating the staircase is the superb family crest, carved out of one piece of solid oak and fashioned by craftsmen some four centuries ago. We're now at the master bedroom door. Bridges, as at this time every morning, will enter and wake the 15th Earl of Collington with his specially blended tea from India and China. He opens the door. And there is the Earl, lying semi-upright in the four-poster bed in which he was born. He's already awake. This is an incredibly emotional moment. He turns to Bridges. He looks worried. Oh, dear, is there something wrong? He speaks.
Where's my shirt? My shirt, shirt.
This is the time of the year when you do your spring cleaning. My mum was a cleaning fanatic. If it didn't move, we had to polish it. And if it did move, we had to step on it. My mum used to bath us in the sink. I wish she'd have taken out the dishes first, though. Spring's the time of the year when you think about your holidays. I mean, why not do something different this year, folks? Take the dog with you and put the kids in boarding kennels. Spring's the time of the year when you think about nature. When I was a lad, we were encouraged to learn all about nature by joining the Boy Scouts. If they really wanted us to learn about nature, they should have let us join the Girl Guides. Spring, the time of the year when bees start a-buzzing. Do you realise that to us, a bee is just an insect, but to a flower, it's Robert Redford? This is the time of the year when you think about your garden. Everything in my garden is coming up roses, which is strangely because I've planted cucumbers. This year, I'm taking a different approach to the garden. I'm planting weeds and hoping the grass will take over. I have the world's most efficient lawn sprinkler, next door's dog. Every year, I ask myself, at this time of the year, I ask myself the same question. How did every dog in Knotty Ash know I was going to walk barefoot on our front lawn? And now something for the discerning listener who enjoys classical music.
The BBC always put out special programmes at Easter. Switch the telly on, Miss Golightly. They're doing a bank holiday edition of the Antique Roadshow.
Oh, righto, Willie.
Ah, lovely to be with you again. And welcome to the Easter Antiques Roadshow. And now, madam, what have you brought in to be valued?
I've got it here in this bin liner.
Oh, and what is it?
My husband.
Your husband? Right, well, now, let's have a look at him, shall we? My word, yes, and what a lovely example of a genuine Wally.
Oh, I always thought he were a Herbert.
Oh, no, definitely a Wally. You can tell by the glazed look and the tilt of his pixie hood. Now, let's examine his legs. I'll just carefully peel away the layers of grey flannel and these woolen long johns. Yes, there they are.
Are them his legs?
Have you never seen them before?
Oh, I've never even counted them.
Them's his legs. There's no doubt about it. Mind you, they'd look a lot better on a Queen Anne table.
Well, I never knew we'd had them tattooed with the map of the motorway system.
No, they're veins, madam, veins. And a few, Could these be love bites?
He never goes anywhere without his ferret.
Oh, I see. You know, I can see now why you thought it was a map of the motorways. I mean, these little knobbly bits could be the Pennines.
And that there could be the Bolton turn-off.
Oh, I'd say that's definitely a turn-off, yes.
Well, I wonder where Spaghetti Junction is.
Oh, I don't guess. But it's probably closed for repairs anyway. Look, tell you what, let's turn him upside down and find out the manufacturer's name. If there we are, St. Michael.
You know, I can hardly recognise him from that angle.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's been sort of rearranged, hasn't it? You know, the wrinkles slope the other way. To sum up, he's hardly a collector's item, but to be fair, he is unique.
Oh, does that mean he's worth something?
Well, I couldn't give you a true valuation, but I'd definitely suggest you put him in a sale.
Oh, you mean like Christie's or Sotheby's?
No, love, car boot. Next item, please. Collector's item, but to be fair, he is unique.
Oh, does that mean he's worth something?
Well, I couldn't give you a true valuation, but I'd definitely suggest you put him in a sale.
Oh, you mean like Christie's or Sotheby's?
No, love, car boot. Next item, please.
What's that you've got there, boss?
This is a bit of BBC high technology, Mr. Likely. At any time during the show, this contraption tells you exactly how many people are listening to the programme.
Oh, you mean you can find out how many people are actually listening to us now?
Of course you can, because you just press this button here, you see, and flick that switch there, and that button there, and it comes up on the screen. There you are, Mr. Likely. 107 listeners.
Oh, gosh, boss, that's fabulous. 107 listeners.
And this machine will add or subtract as many people turn on or switch off.
What will they think of next?
So, if the programme begins to get a bit boring, these 94 listeners will obviously switch over to another programme. But, I mean, that won't happen to this show. I mean, our 89 listeners are good, loyal people who will stay with us through thick and thin.
Hey, what you two talking about?
Oh, it's fantastic, Willie. Mr. Dodd's got a machine which tells you how many people are listening to the show.
Keep on paying how many people are listening.
Well, I was just telling Miss Golightly, we've got 62 loyal, true lovers.
How many, boss?
57. Listen, I see what you mean, Miss Golightly.
Oh, they've switched off, boss. They're all switching off.
We've got to do something, Miss G.
Tell a joke, Mr. Dog. Yes, tell one of your jokes.
I'll tell one joke. How do you stop a woman wanting your body? Marry her. This. How do you stop your dog chasing cars? Take his bike off him. This.
How many now, boss?
36. Oh, it's no good. We've got to give them something else.
Well, you've tried comedy. Give them a bit of drama.
That's a good idea, Willie. A good idea. Drama. It could be just what these 29 listeners want. A good northern drama.
Why northern, boss?
It's our only hope, Miss Golightly. Here we are in Leeds, far to the north. Let's give them some reek good gradely drama about reek good ordinary e bar gum hey up nobbit just or Yorkshire folk. I've got it. Trouble at Mill.
In the hope of attracting more listeners, Dodd's Deck Chair Theatre brings you a moving story of love, devotion and heartbreak in Trouble at Mill. Yorkshire, England. The year 1901. Clettlewick Mill has been in the Arkwright family for 5 generations and is prospering well under its present master, Seth. Right. Seth lives in a grim-looking stone-faced house with Lottie, his grim-looking stone-faced wife. And today has been Seth's birthday.
Well, Lottie, lass, I've said it before and I'll say it again. When it comes to cooking, you're in a class of your own. They were the best lamb cutlets I've ever tasted.
They were fish cakes, Seth.
Well, yes. Well, as I say, when it comes to cooking, you're in a class of your own, Lottie.
More rhubarb wine, sir.
Is that what it is? I've been putting it on my chips.
How are we doing, boss?
Terrible. Another 13 listeners have switched off. Never mind. This next bit, this is a good bit. This will get them back.
Will you have some rhubarb wine, Walter? It's homemade.
No, thanks, Mrs. Arkwright. I've had enough.
Very wise, Walter. Knowing you've had enough.
You've obviously seen what it does to people.
No, I've seen them making the stuff.
I've put a dozen bottles on one side for when you and our Nelly get married.
Whoa, I am a lucky man, aren't I?
You are that, lad. It could have been 2 dozen.
Enough, boss.
This is terrible, Mr. Lattie. We're down to 9 listeners. This is our only chance. This is the sad bit. A bit of emotion. That'll get him.
What's up, Seth? You look sad.
I am sad, Lottie, lass. There's one empty chair at the family table. It's our only son's chair.
Aye, poor Edgar. If only he could have been with us.
Aye, but it's no use fretting. Somebody had to clean out that boiler.
There you go again. Mill, mill, mill.
Well, I'm worried, lass.
Worried, sir? Worried, Dad?
Worried, Mr. Arkwright?
Aye, worried.
What are you worried about, sir?
We're down to 2 listeners. That's what I'm worried about. 2 listeners.
Hey, boss, this is disastrous. What can we do?
There's only one thing we can do, Miss Golightly. Put a record on and run.
Righto, boss. Which record?
Any record. Any. It doesn't matter. Willie, start the car.
Oh, here we go, Mr. Dodd.
Oh, my God. Pass me my overcoat, Miss Golightly.
Here you are, boss.
Hey, hey, wait a minute. Hang on. Hang on. Look what's happening. Everybody's switching back on. This is unbelievable. Look, 7,000 listeners.
8,000. Look.
That's it. That's what the British public want. An Australian soap opera.
And there's 4,000 have switched on in the Isle of Man.
Good. There must be a boat in. Look, stand by, everybody. Right. Stand by. Same script. Same script. Same actors. Australian accents. Here we go.
You said you were worried, Sam.
Oh, sure am, Lottie, me old cobber. I think we've got troublemakers.
Troublemakers, Dave?
Yeah, troublemakers.
You mean trouble at the mill?
I knew some fool would say that before we'd finished.
This is fantastic, boss. There's over 12 million people listening, and it's going up all the time.
Who do you think's behind this trouble, Mr. Arkwright?
Where we are, Castle.
Well, I know one way to take your mind off Willie Hardcastle. I'll sing another song for you.
Now, Lottie, you don't have to.
What should I sing, Nellie?
What about singing Lo, Hear the Gentle Lark, Mother?
It's too high, Nellie. Last time I sang that, I lost my voice for a week.
Ah, so you did, lass. Sing it again.
Mr. Dodd, 27 million listeners. No, 28.
Who do you believe? This is amazing. Look, 30 million people all over the country. 30 million people listening to my show.
Oh, boss, I'm so proud of you.
There's only one thing we can do now, with nearly the entire population of the country listening.
What's that, boss?
Pack in while we're winning. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy bye. Happy bye.